So, amen. I'm talking today in 1 Peter chapter 5, and we're going to pick up with verse 4, and we're going to read through the end of the chapter. I've titled this, The Call to Triumph. The Call to Triumph. Now, if you didn't get that in the worship, man, if that didn't just create a fire in you, then the old saying is, your wood is wet. And we need to get your wood dried out so you can fire up for God. But the Lord has called us to triumph. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4. And I will say Denny handled the tough part of this chapter. Thank you, Denny. Did an excellent job with it. And then I get to preach the good stuff. And so I'm really glad. It says, and when the chief shepherd appears, that's Jesus, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to the elders. Elders, do I need to read that again? Why not? Likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. You know, that's almost being forgotten in our day. That's scriptural. It's not cultural. It's scriptural. Amen. Read it one more time, Pastor. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same suffering are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you've suffered a little while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, our faithful brother, that's Silas, as our faithful brother, as I consider him, I have written to you briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God in which you stand. She who is in Babylon, elect together with you, greets you, and so does Mark, my son. Greet one another with a kiss, not in this church. And peace to you, maybe on the cheek, and peace to you all who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Oh, man, Jesus, what an honor it is to gather together. Lord, I feel the faith of those that are in the congregation. Lord, we are a people of faith. Our faith is in you. And Lord, I feel the strength of these folks today and the anointing of your word as just encouragement to our bones, God. I believe, Lord, with all my heart that you have a word that you're wanting to not just speak, but to impart to us, God, so that it wouldn't just be knowledge, but it would be wisdom. It would be part of us, God. So today, Lord, we open our hearts and our minds, and we are receptive to the move of God. Father, we have prayed for this service, Lord. We have asked you to do mighty and great things. We have asked you, Lord, to bring prodigals in, Lord, for souls to be saved, for people to be healed. Lord, I just pray right now, move by your Spirit, God. You are Lord of all, Father. We worship you, we honor you, we recognize who we are in you, Father. And we're so glad to be together to celebrate you. And Lord, we know this is just a small taste of what heaven will be, God. So it excites me in my soul, Lord Jesus. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the worship this morning. How powerful and spiritual it was, God, that it reached down in my soul and it just stirred me to recognize who I am in you and what a mighty God I serve, and to know that you're not just God, you're my God. You're my personal Savior, my Lord, my lover, and I worship and I honor you. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that every person in this room, Lord, would have a relationship with you before they leave this building, God. May they make it right, God. May they come into the knowledge of the Savior. May they submit everything to you, Lord. May they raise their hands, Lord, in holiness, God, and just ask you to be their Savior and their Lord. Hallelujah. Moved by your Spirit. Lord, your word is deep today. God, help me, Lord, just to be able to peel it like an onion, God, one layer at a time, and help us to get this, Lord, deep in our heart. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my soul be acceptable in your sight, for you are my rock and my redeemer. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I have one more verse I want to read to you. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. He says, Paul is writing, he says, "Now thanks be to God, who always leads us to triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place." The Bible goes on, he says, "To some we're a beautiful fragrance, to others not so much." Right? But I want you to really get these first words. I've been saved a long time. I've watched Christians battle and just live so close to the edge of failure that it concerns me. And I want you to know, don't ever accept failure as from God. He causes us to triumph. You're not going to win every battle, but we are triumphant, right? We are triumphant. And so that's where the Lord is leading you. Sometimes we get this wrong idea. Well, God needs a few failures out there. And so maybe he's just called me to be a failure. Are you kidding me? Would you have a child and say, "Okay, I want you to win, I want you to win, I want you to win, but you're not going anywhere"? What parent would do that, right? God, get it in your, you got to get this. God causes, just say it with me, God causes me to triumph. Amen. Okay. So I backed up a little bit. Then he got through verse 5, but I backed up just a little bit because I wanted you to get this. When the chief shepherd appears, you're going to receive a crown of glory. The Bible talks about four different crowns in Scripture. And a crown is a symbol of honor. Now, we have come to honor him, but do you realize there's a day when you're going to receive a crown because he wishes to honor you? Why? Because you triumphed. Because you didn't give up. Every one of us have battles. Every one of us have days where we think, "I just don't know that I can continue. I don't know if I can win this fight." I promise you, don't give up. When you are weak, he is strong. See, it's the devil's lie that say, you're not going to make it. You're not. You know when I would tell you that if I was the devil? Right before your victory. And he knows it, because he doesn't know exactly the day, but he knows in his knower, in his whatever he's got, he knows that you're getting close to victory.
Amen.
So he just pours on the discouragement. "I'll just give up. Just give up. You can't make it. You're not worth it. You're insignificant." You just tell the devil he's a liar. Because the word says that he caused me to triumph. That's the word of God. That's truth. Anything coming that contrary to that is a lie from the pit of hell. I'm amazed at how often Christians listen to the devil. He wants us to win, guys. He's our biggest cheerleader. In chapter 1 of the book of James, we see that we get a crown of life. He says this, James 1 verse 12. I don't think I put this in your notes or on the in his notes. Nope. And I'm in Peter. Maybe this didn't look right. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. Anybody had some temptation? For when he has been approved, he'll receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. So we got a crown of glory. We got a crown of life. In 1 Corinthians 9:25, he says that there's an imperishable or an incorruptible crown. And 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8 says there's a crown of righteousness to all who love his appearing. Say, man, what are we going to do with those crowns? We're going to cast them at his feet. Hallelujah. When we're all around the throne room of God celebrating, you get to take your crown of glory off. You get to take that crown of righteousness off. And you get to say, here, Jesus, I'm wearing this crown of righteousness not because I'm good, but because you made me righteous. Here it is, back to you. Hallelujah. Principle of the Word of God says to clothe ourselves in humility, because God resists the proud. Folks, we need to take notice of these verses. I don't want to be on the opposite team of God. I've been on a lot of losing teams, it seems like, all my life. If they put me on a basketball team or a softball team, I don't know. I might have been the common denominator. I'm not for sure. But it seems like we always lost. But in the game of life, put me on Jesus' side, right? I want to be on His team. I don't want to feel like I am resistant to God. How can I be resistant to God? When I walk in pride. I had a young man tell me today, thank me for things I taught him. And I'm like, you taught me so much more than I taught you. And I remember this time. You know, there are certain words spoken that just hit your heart and they never leave you. Have you experienced that? And this is one of those times. It was Brother Michael that spoke this word to the group. He said this. He said, I'd been in church all my life, in, out, in, out, in, out. Never seemed to work for me until, you got it? Until I humbled myself. When I humbled myself before God, my life changed. Guys, I'm telling you, this is key. This is a key to victory, to being triumphant, is you've got to get humble before the Lord. What's that mean? I've got to recognize I need a Savior. I'm not all it in a bag of chips, right? I need help to get along to do. Proverbs 3:34 says, God resists the, God gives grace or favor to the humble. James chapter 4, 6 through 8 says, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God. Then he gives some great instruction. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. John Bevere says there's two pillars in the church, that the whole church, the body of Christ, stands on two pillars. One is the fear of God. We must reverence Him as Lord. One day we will stand before Him and give an account for every word that we've ever spoken. He is not only Savior, He is Judge. We must not be afraid of Him, but we must reverence Him. We must stand in awe of who He is. I'm thankful that Jesus humbled himself and became a man. He's not man any longer. He is God. The fear of the Lord. But the second pillar of the church is humility. And in reality, those two pillars are like blended. See, I don't think you can have humility until you understand who God is. His reverence Him. We must humble ourselves. And then he says that he would draw us near. Humility, many people think of humility is putting yourself down. It's not that at all. God is not saying have a low self-esteem. You know, God is saying, no, you got that wrong. If you understand who you are, you're not going to have a low self-esteem. I don't even like to use the word self-esteem. I like to say we have a God esteem. We understand our identity as in Christ, and we know who we are, and we know that greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. That's powerful. But humility is being willing to be known for who we really are. Can you acknowledge your weakness? I can. I'm not going to tell you, but I can. I'm willing to be known for who I really am. But that changes. See, if I really know who I am, I have to know that I am His. And that's powerful. When I really get my identity not from my mom or my dad or what culture says about me, what my job says I am, that's not who I am. Who I am is who He says I am. That's who I really am. And as I understand, He has given me the right, the authority to be the Son of God. That's powerful, man. I mean, I am the Son of God. These words kept going through my mind. Last night as I was waking up and down mentally. And I kept thinking these words, what I told you before. God doesn't plant a tree in you. God plants a seed in you. And that seed grows up and becomes so powerful that it gives shade to everyone, right? But it starts with a seed. You know, they say, yes, today's mighty oak was yesterday's nut that held its ground. And that's who we are today. We seem a little nutty sometimes, but we're just holding our ground because the seed of God has been implanted in us. And it's growing, folks. It needs to be watered, but it's growing. Let the seed of God grow in you, and it changes your identity. In Micah 6:8, he says, He has showed the old man what is good. What does he require, not suggest? What does he require? To do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly. I believe that not only are we to walk humbly with God, I believe we're to walk humble with each other and in this life. Let me give you just a couple of characteristics of the humble. They acknowledge when they're wrong. They'll own their own mistake. They're not always trying to pass it off and say, well, this is what I was taught. This is culture has made me do this. No, this, I'm sorry, I messed up. They acknowledge they're wrong. They're teachable and correctable. They promote others. It's not just about themselves. They're genuine and honest. They submit to God's delegated authority. They're okay with not being noticed. They prefer others before themselves. And I believe, number one, they recognize their need for God. They recognize that they have a need. He goes on, he tells us this, he comes back to it in a little bit, but then he, verse 7, he says, cast all your care. Come on, cast all your care. You know, I have found that today it seems like Christians are laden with care. You know what Jesus, or what God calls us? Psalms 100, we are the sheep of His pasture. You will never see sheep with a pack. You just don't, if you want to pack something, if you want to pack an animal and go camping and use that, you pack a mule. Now, which do you want to be called in the kingdom? Maybe neither one too bright. But we are the sheep of His pasture. And He says, cast your cares on Him. That word means to violently throw it, to fling it on the Lord. Because you can't change it. You can't change your children. You can't change your neighbors. Sometimes I wonder if we can change our own self. Yeah. You can't change those things that you're just worried and eat up with. So what do you do? I mean, wisdom says this, right? What do you do when you're so laden down with the cares of this life? Just fling it on the Lord. It's not like you're dumping on Him. He asked you to do it. He says, don't carry this. It's not going to help you. Fling it on the Lord. So what? So you go free. How many Christians would come off Prozac if they cast their cares on the Lord? I know there's a time for that. But you know what? I don't believe that's God's best for you. Rick Renner is a Greek expert, and so he's written several books, and he just takes a verse and he just breaks it down from the Greek, the literal Greek, and then he'll write what he calls an expanded verse. And I wanted you to hear his expanded verse on this. He said, take that heavy burden, difficulty, or challenge you're carrying, the one that has arisen due to circumstances that have created hardship and struggles in your life, and fling those worries and anxieties over onto the back of the Lord. Let Him carry them for you. The Lord is extremely interested in every facet of your life and is genuinely concerned about your welfare. Don't believe the lies of religion. Religion will tell you He don't care about you. All He cares about is a set of rules. That ain't true. The Lord intimately loves you. He wants the best for you. He wants you to triumph and do well. And you cannot triumph when you're carrying all the cares of this life. The Bible says the cares of this life choke off the Word. The Word, the truth, the thing that will bring you liberty, the cares of this life are going to choke it off. And He says, just fling that over. How many times have you seen Christians, man, they'll fling that on the Lord, but before the service is over, they go back up to the altar and pick it back up. No, that's mine. That's my anxiety. It is not your anxiety. It's the devil. I'll tell you, this book of Peter has been so wonderful, but he is just hard hitting in this last chapter. So he tells us, you know, to submit ourselves. He tells us to be humble with God, to not walk in arrogancy and pride, to cast our cares on Him. And then verse 8, be sober, be vigilant. Your mind, be sober. Be sober. We don't need to show up for battle drunk or high. And if you don't realize that every day is a battle, you're in for a rude awakening. I'm telling you, every day. The Lord's Prayer says, keep me from the evil one. Right? Lead me not into temptation, deliver me from that evil one. The devil has a plan to destroy you. And he may decide to show you on Tuesday. Well, what if you're frivolous? What if you haven't taken captive your thoughts Tuesday? You're just, I'm just having a good time today. Oh, I left my helmet of salvation at home. Yeah, you might get taken out. Instead of being sober, instead of being vigilant, like I'm on my game. God help us. Give us some warriors in the camp. Give us some people that are willing to stand on the wall and be faithful. And I'm talking Christianese right now, and I know I am, and you're thinking, what in the world is he talking about? Read your Bible. Be sober. Be vigilant. Listen to those next couple words. Because your adversary. He did not say the adversary. He made it personal. Your adversary. Pat, you got an enemy. Everybody in this church loves you, but I know somebody that doesn't. The devil. Are you getting it? This is very personal. The devil wants to destroy your life. And every once in a while we fall prey to that, right? Every one of us make bad decisions, bad mistakes. Thank God for His grace. But can we put a little resistance there? Are we just going to follow? Oh, okay, that sounds pretty good. Come on, let's do something. Okay, even if it's the wrong thing, let's do something. He said, your adversary, the devil, walks about. You thought he was in hell, didn't you? He's walking about. You know, the Bible says that we don't wrestle flesh and blood. But you know, sometimes that old devil gets into your neighbor. You know, sometimes that old devil gets into your coworker. Sometimes that old devil gets into your best friend to give you bad advice. To say, hey, come on, let's relax and party. I can't. I got to be vigilant. I got to be sober-minded because I'm in a fight. Right? I can't let my guard down. It doesn't mean that we don't get to enter into the rest of God, because we can enter into the rest of God. He tells us that. But then he says, the devil walks about like. He is not a roaring lion, but he's like one. He's got a loud roar, which is intimidating. I mean, the devil is the master of intimidation. You know, they say a lion's roar can be heard for miles. Did you know that? For miles that roar can be heard. And he's seeking whom he may devour. The easiest mark are the ones that have been separated from the pack. Those that think church is not important. I'm just doing my own thing, but I'm following Christ. I'm sorry, but you are wrong. You need to get into the body of Christ for that protection. You're safer when you're with the pack. Let me tell you that this is just natural. A lion will go for those that are in isolation. But you know who else he goes for? He goes for the hurt ones. Those that are wounded. You know how we get wounded? From the devil, sure enough. But sometimes from each other. There are Christians all around the world that are carrying church hurt around with them. We got to walk in forgiveness. We got to let some things go. We got to walk in love. Why? Because I'm making myself vulnerable to an attack of the enemy if I keep walking in this hurt. The devil will see my downside. He'll see that and he'll play on that, trying to take me out of the game. John 10:10 says Satan came to steal. He's trying to steal your joy. He'll steal your finances. But you know what he's really after? Listen, listen, listen. He's after the Word of God in you. Why? Because it's the Word that brings you strength. It's the Word that separates you. So Satan is going to go for the Word. He's going to make you... He talks to us. He says, well, you know, I just really don't think that Word was inspired. I think Peter missed it. I think maybe that's just a man's opinion. Buddy, I'm going to tell you, I will not let you tell me what part of the Word is inspired and what is not. I'm going to believe every word of it. And I'm going to stand on every word. He wants to go for the hurt ones. He goes for the weak ones. And he goes for our babies. And that's to us, not just to the preachers, But when someone gives their soul to Christ, we need to recognize they need our support. They need our prayer. They need your encouragement, not your legalism. Encourage them to follow Christ. Don't tell them how long their hair needs to be. Right? Oh, you know, God doesn't like tattoos. I think there's more important things in life personally. God cares about that heart. Let's strengthen the body of Christ. The word adversary there is antigos or something like that. I don't want to pronounce it the way I love the Dicus family, but to me that says anti-Dicus. And I'm like, I can't say that in our church. We love the Dicuses. But it means a lawyer who argues in a court of law. It's the prosecutor who vehemently opposes you. That's the devil. He is the accuser of the brethren. He's the one that will accuse you before God. He will accuse you before each other. But more than anything, he will accuse you to yourself. Amen. He will tell you you're not worthy. You're incapable. You're not smart. You're not significant to God. God doesn't know you. It's a lie from the pit of hell. Are you getting me? You need to just settle this. God loves me. Warts and all. The expanded verse in this, he says, you must constantly be alert and on your guard. The devil, like an accusing lawyer, will try to charge you with all kinds of arguments and accusation. You need to know that he is like a lion on the prowl, constantly walking around, roaring with a deafening sound, earnestly seeking the kind of person he can completely consume and slurp up. That slurp up is talking about literally licking the blood off the ground. A lion will kill its prey and then it will lick the blood off the ground. He said that's what the enemy does. He'll lick your blood off the ground. The devil will tell you that this mess is your making. You've sowed it, now you're reaping it. Listen to me closely. Yes. That's right. I did make this mess. Right? I've made mistakes all my life. Okay, devil, I'm going to give you that one. It probably is my mess. But you know what? I'm so thankful that he is called a redeemer. He does not hold my past against me. Psalms 103, one of the most powerful scriptures that I know. And it says that he came to redeem me from the pit. Did I make this bed? Yes. Do I have to lie in it? No. Okay, let's separate truth from the culture. Did you make some of your mistakes in your life? See, the devil wants to constantly repeat this to you. He's just constantly, your children aren't serving the Lord because you were a bad parent. How many of you been told that? Yeah. Well, guess what? God created two, and they fell. They got kicked out of the garden. You want to call God a bad parent? I think we ought to remind the devil of that. Right? God had 12 disciples and lost one of them. We have a will. And I can either go my own way or I can listen to the advice of others and I can listen to the counsel of God. At some point, you got to cast that off. You got to quit taking responsibility for all the garbage in your life. And you got to tell the devil he's a liar and the father of all lies. Did I make mistakes? I absolutely did. We've got former addicts in this church. Matter of fact, I'd say probably every one of us is. Of some sort, we're all addicted to something that's not godly. Right? Cheeseburgers. Don't talk dirty in my church. I'm convicted now. He'll tell you you're paying for your mistakes. When people call me, they'll talk to me. You'll hear me say this a lot. You're listening to the wrong voice. In our Sunday school class today, we're in John chapter 14, and we were studying a little bit of the part where Jesus actually corrected Peter, or not Peter, Philip, right there. Philip said, "Would you show us the Father?" And Jesus said, "How long have I been with you? Don't you know the Father and I are one? When He speaks, I speak. You know, when He tells, all authority that I have is given from the Father." And one of our young ladies, she spoke up and she said, He did correct him, but He didn't call him stupid. He didn't put him down in any way. See, James, again, I love the book of James. "If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not." It means He doesn't scold you. If you are ignorant in something, He doesn't scold you for being ignorant. He'll inform you. God is your greatest teammate. He's the one that wants you to succeed and to win the whole time. But He goes on, He says, "But we need to resist Him." Oh, now that's a pretty unique thought. Christians, we're supposed to resist. Don't go down that road. Throw up a roadblock for Satan. Resist is the same word that we get antihistamine from, in the Greek word. Antihistamine, it says, means to block the histamine from your body. Resist Him means to block the enemy's forces, to withstand. You know, Treva read these scriptures. I didn't know she was going to read them in Ephesians chapter 6. But in three places He said, withstand, stand, stand. I don't know, but I think He's trying to get us a message. Yeah. I told that church last week, I always look for when the Lord duplicates it. When the Lord Jesus says something twice in a passage, it always catches my attention. Well, He doesn't say it twice. He says it three times. We have got to withstand. The enemy is coming at you. I promise you. You may be on the mountain today. He's coming for you. I listened to your testimony, Belinda, last week. Golly, we about shouted in our car coming home. What a joy it is to know He is still on the throne. He's still answering prayer. And folks, we could bring up so many more of you that says, "This is what God has done for me. This is what God is answering our prayer." We've got to pray. Resist the devil. He's going to come. Here's where he comes. He comes right between your ears. The devil is talking all the time. He's telling you lies. If his mouth is moving, it's a lie. He's telling you things that are anti-scriptural. Now, they may sound like the scripture, but he twists the scripture. He tries to plant doubt in your mind towards God and towards His goodness. The devil wants to make you think that that God is your enemy, that God is the one who's looking to get you. He is not. God is your friend. God is the lover of your soul. You don't believe that? Then read the Song of Solomon. It's the most sexual book in the Bible. And it shows God is the lover. He loves you. Ooh, I lost some of you there. I know. Pastor, keep it G-rated. Okay. Woo. He says, take up the whole armor of God. Last night as we was praying, I just felt like the Lord was leading us to do something. We took communion together, and we stood and we began to put on imitation, put on the armor of God, that belt of truth. You see, the belt was where all the other armor hooked into that belt. And so My son looked at me a few weeks ago and he said, "Dad, we're moving away from truth. We're losing truth in our society. Thy word is true." See, when you begin to doubt the word, you're doubting truth. And the danger of that is, then you got to make it up. You got to make up your own truth. I remember talking to a lady and she was not saved. And I said, "Well, what do you think happens when you die?" And she said, "Well, I just sort of think that we sort of go back into that fetal position and we're just there for the, you know, forever. We're just..." And I said, "Where did you get that?" And she said, "Well, I just thought it in my mind." Dear God. That is so crazy. Right? To be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. This body may go to the earth, but it's coming back out. Incorruptible body. This one is going to be tall and skinny with lots of hair. You may not recognize me. He says, gird with the belt of truth. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. You're not righteous in your own, but you're righteous because of Jesus. He took your sin and gave you His righteousness. When you get that truth, it will change your life. It will change the way you pray. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Put on the helmet of salvation. Shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Pick up that shield of faith so that when the enemy begins to throw those fiery darts in your mind, you're taking that shield and you're moving it so nothing is hitting the head. He wants to take you out. He can take you out with one lie. He can tell you you're not significant, you're not important, you're stupid, you're ugly. How dare he talk about the creation of God? And then get the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. It's the one that we can attack with. That double-edged sword that came out of the mouth of God. And just the way it came out of the mouth of God, it can come out of my mouth. And that sword, the way that Jesus defeated the enemy during that time of temptation, He defeated him with the Word. I promise you, if you try to play a mental game with the devil, you're going to lose. But he cannot stand against the Word. Hallelujah. Now he says this, after you have suffered a little while, get this, suffering is temporary. You may go through some battles and you may suffer, but it's a little while. Your life is eternal. Your suffering is this big. Now you may be going through hell right now and you may be saying, "Pastor, I'm a little bit offended at you saying that." Well, it ought to bring you hope. Some of the greatest words in Scripture, and this came to pass. It will not stay. The things that you are going through today will not stay with you. It came to pass. It's temporary. Job suffered greatly, but it ended. And it ended with victory. And it ended with him getting double of everything, right? Because he was found faithful. And so with all the other men of God, they did suffer for a little while, but it was a little while. Here's the promise. The God of all grace, who calls us to the eternal glory, not temporary suffering, will do this. He will perfect you. That means mature you in the faith or restore you. How many of you need to be restored? Right? How many of you need your thoughts and your mind to be restored, to think like God thinks, not the way of the world? He will establish you and support you. He will fix your stance so that you can stand. He will establish you in your faith. He will establish you in the career. He will establish you in your home. He will establish your life in Him. Thank you for your excitement. He will strengthen you, and I need His strength. Hallelujah. And He will settle you or place you on a firm foundation. Hallelujah. This letter was written, and he tells us at the very last why he wrote this letter. It was written to exhort you and to testify of God's true grace. You get it? It was not written so that you could get under condemnation for any part of it. You hear me? We need to be careful how we speak to each other. Sometimes we think we're speaking God's words when we're criticizing. That is not of God. It concerns me when people say, well, I've just got to say this because the Lord wants me to say this, and then they cut you. It's bad enough that they cut you, but the real error here is they thought it was the voice of God. Dear God, you're listening to the wrong voice. The Lord would never tell you to come at me, to criticize me, to tell me everything I'm doing wrong. Believe you me, I know those things. So keep your letters. I will not read another letter from a coward that will not sign his name. I wasn't going to give that the dignity, but I'm sorry. That was an awful letter. And if you thought that was from God, you need to get saved. I don't think you're part of the family. John 16:33 says, in this world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. The promise. You're going to have battles. And you're even going to lose a few. But you just know you're on the winning side. Humble yourself. Resist the devil. Call on the name of the Lord. He will help you. Amen. Here's a couple of my takeaways. I believe there are people here today that need to fling some little things on the Lord. You're carrying some burdens you ought not be carrying. Just fling it. That's violently throwing. It's like you throw a baseball from center field. You throw it all the way in. Man, you're just getting rid of that garbage. Has the devil been telling you you're a liar or you're a loser? It's time to withstand and stand. It's time to tell the enemy to take a hike. But nothing good will happen until you get humble. Until you humble yourself, God will come on the scene when you humble yourself. When you say, I need you. I can't do this alone. I just can't make it. I'm weak, but you're strong. Hallelujah. It's time to quit trying to do life on your own. It's time that you meet the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Give your heart 100% to Jesus. He'll direct your steps. You see, Jesus, John 15 says that my sheep know my voice. But there's lots of voices out there. That's why it's easy to get confused. You know the loudest voice in my head? It's mine. It's mine. Because I keep wanting to direct my own steps. I keep wanting to do my own thing. The second loudest voice, I'm going to give you a break. It's the devil. The devil is loud. The quietest voice is his. We call it the whispers of heaven because he whispers. Sometimes you got to turn everything else off to hear the voice of God. To hear His whisper. That means the radio, the TV. Close the magazines up and just ask the Lord, Lord, I really need to hear from You. He'll respond. He will talk to you through that inner being. He'll let you know. Would you stand with me? I feel very impressed today, and did last night, just to ask you. I believe there are those in this room that have not started your journey with Christ. Possibly you started one time as a child, but you're not following the Lord right now. It's time to repent of your sin, to ask Him to be your Lord and Savior, and let's get on with winning some battles, right? Let's get on with following the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Say, how do you do that, Pastor? It's so easy. You just ask Him to forgive you. Lord, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I repent. That means to turn around. I repent of my sins, and I ask You to be my Savior and my Lord. And then you turn your ear to heaven, and you start following and listening to that right voice. Would you bow your head? Close your eyes. I'm going to lead you in this prayer of salvation. And if that's you, just pray this prayer sincerely from your heart. Nobody can pray it for you, and you don't have to pray it exactly the way I pray it. It's honestly, it's just getting humble with God and asking for forgiveness. Lord, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. Would You forgive me of my sins and come into my heart? God, would You put me on the right path? Lord, it seems like my life is nothing but a mess right now. And honestly, I've made that mess. Forgive me. Redeem my life from that pit. Put my feet on the solid ground of Christ. Jesus, I will listen to You. I will love You and I will serve You all the days of my life. Jesus, this is my prayer. Amen. Now, if you've prayed that prayer sincerely, you are born again. And that's what Jesus told Nicodemus. You must be born again. You're born again right now. That doesn't mean that everything bad in your life is gone, but it means you're on the right path. Now you get to walk with God. He is your Lord. Good things will begin to happen to you. But it also means there's a target on your back now. Now you have that enemy. How about you that need to fling some things on the Lord today? Are you carrying some burdens that you just don't need to carry? Can I pray for you? Close your eyes. Jesus, I come before You today. And Lord, I know, Lord, because it's me. God, this is where I am often, Lord, carrying anxieties, carrying, Lord, I even worry about them, Lord. I get so concerned about them, Lord, that I wind up worrying rather than praying. So, Father, I need to cast all my cares on You. I fling it to the cross. Lord, I know that You are capable of carrying these things, but I am not. So I give You my worry and my anxiety, and I'm asking You today, give me peace. Let peace come into my mind and in my heart, and let me walk into that rest that You have promised. God, I pray right now for the peace of God to settle upon the minds of Your people. Lord, let them be free from all worry. Let them be free from the fear, God, the torment, Lord, that's tormenting their minds. Those that have not even been able to sleep, God, because they're so worried. They're tore up, God. Their stomach is upset because they're so worried, God. I pray right now, let the peace of God surround them. Let the peace of God rest on them and settle on them, God. Let their minds be at rest. Father, I thank You, Lord, You care for us. You love us. Help us to love each other. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Brother Denny.
Just a few reminders. Don't forget, Saturday is the street outreach, 1 o'clock here. We'll start here at the church. We gather up food, and then we take it out, and we share the gospel and give it to people and all that. So if you haven't been to one, I encourage you, just try it once. I mean, you won't regret it by any means. So, also, we have, starting in August, remember the children's church, we'll go straight back to the back and have worship back there. As we do that, that means that we are going to need some help. Last Sunday school, they had 12 kids with two adults. Children's church, they had 25 kids last week. So we need some help. So many hands make light work, right? So if you're not involved in something, with Bridge of Hope, I encourage you to speak with Pastor, speak with Sherry or somebody, one of us deacons or somebody, and we'll get you involved so we can all help one another be one big family, right? That's what we're supposed to be. So raise your hand, receive the Lord's blessing. May the Lord bless you, and may He keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you peace. With nothing missing, nothing broken. Go in peace and serve the Lord. Hallelujah.